The inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that we may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven. We come now to discuss the book of John, the fourth account of the life of Christ, written to all mankind and stressing the deity of Christ and his interest in the individual human being, the human touch of Christ. The book of John is different from the other three accounts of the life of Christ because it was written much later than the other three, and it indicates the reaction of the world to Christ and his kingdom. It also corrects errors that had arisen through the years since the establishment of Christianity on the day of Pentecost. It was written by the dearest friend the Lord had, the one to whom Christ committed the care of his mother in John chapter 19. It is a unique and beautiful book. In fact, the opening stanza of the book of John is one of the very richest. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We read that he was the light that shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we learned that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. All this is in the prologue, the first 18 verses of the beautiful first stanza of the book of John. John the Immerser said in John 1:29 of Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world." And in this opening chapter of John, Jesus begins his human touch, his interest in the individual, in Andrew and Simon Peter, in Philip and Nathaniel. In John 1:49, the explanation, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel," is indicative of what we'll find in the rest of the book. In the last verse of the first chapter of John, we learn that Christ is our ladder to heaven, and by him and through him we ascend and descend in the heavenly places. In John chapter 2, we read that Jesus knew what was in man, and at the beginning of his personal ministry, as well as at the end of it, he cleansed the temple, indicating the vanity, the worldliness, the shallowness, and the profane nature of the Jewish nation in the first century. In John 3, we read of Nicodemus, who is mentioned again in John 7 and also in chapter 19. Jesus made an impact upon this ruler of the Jews who came to him by night. Jesus said to him, "You must be born again to enter the kingdom, born of water and the Spirit." We have the beautiful verse 16 of John 3, well known to all Bible students. But verse 17 of John 3 is even more dramatic. "God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." In John 4, we're introduced to the bad Samaritan, the Samaritan who came to the well alone. Jesus told her of all things that she had ever done. We have the famous statement in John 4:35, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest." In John 5, Jesus' troubles begin as on the Sabbath day he heals a lame man. In chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, we learn that when the Lord comes, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. There will be one resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust, Acts 24:15. In John 6, we have the famous sermon of Christ. He is the bread of life, contrasted with the manna in the wilderness. In John chapter 7, his half-brothers taunt him, saying, "If you're really who you claim to be, go to the Feast of the Tabernacles and openly show forth your claim." But Jesus let them know that he was on the Father's time schedule, not on theirs. And yet when he did go to the feast and begin to teach, this statement is indicative of the reaction of the people. "Never a man so spake as he," John 7:46. One of the beauty spots of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is John 8:12. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And then the famous utterance of John 8:32. Christ said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In John 9, he healed a man born blind, and then went back to him to take care of his spiritual blindness. In John 10, verse 10, We have a magnificent utterance. Christ said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. In John 11, at the graveside of Lazarus, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. He that believeth in me shall never really die. And then the climactic statement of John 12:48. Jesus said, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. But if I had to choose just one verse in the whole book that emphasizes the importance of Christ and his message, it would surely be John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John chapter 15, we learn the practical nature of Christianity. In verse 8 of that chapter, Jesus said, Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. In John 16:13, he promised that the Holy Spirit would come and guide the apostles into all the truth. And in John 17:17, he identified that truth as God's word by saying, Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. To Pilate, he said in John 18:36, My kingdom is not of this world. In John 19:30, suspended between heaven and earth, he cried, It is finished. He had finished the work God gave him to do, John 6:38, John 17:4. And then in John chapter 20, one of his friends exclaims at the empty tomb of Christ, They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Today, men have taken away the authority of Christ, the church of Christ, the example of Christ, the worship Christ ordained. But they will pay for it in the day of judgment. And they rob themselves in this life and become bereft of the best things that this life affords by removing the Lord. Of course, his body had not been stolen away. Up from the grave, by the power of God, he had arisen. The last few verses of John 20 state the purpose of this book and of the three preceding ones in the New Testament, saying, These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And finally, in the last chapter, John 21, the haunting question asked three times of Simon Peter still yet rings in our ears as well. Christ said, Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Surely a study of the book of John ought to cause us to say, Yes, Lord, we love thee supremely.
The message which you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.